You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Always great catching up with you guys. In terms of cutting hair, since I heard you guys talking about it as I was coming on, I could not believe people cut their hair in the backyard. That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, well, let me ask you this. Thomas, how often do you cut your hair?
Oh, I get it cut every, like, couple months. Quite frankly, I could probably even do it sooner than that. It grows pretty quick nowadays. So, but yeah, usually every 2 months.
See, I just got a haircut and I was at the barber and I just see people coming in that have really nice hair. And I guess that's why they have nice hair, is because they take care of it. They get it cut up, you know, every couple of weeks, maybe every couple of months. For me, I grow it out pretty long and then just go short. So that was kind of where the question came from, because some people say they'll go every 3-4 weeks. Make sure they keep it clean. The guys with the big beards will do it a little more often, keep the beard tight. So I guess I suppose I get it. But yeah, a lot of people just take care of it in the backyard, and I guess that's efficient as well. You don't even have to go sit in the barbershop. You just handle it yourself. Now, a guy who is handling himself as much as he can, Paul Skeens with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's going to be on the mound tonight with the Jays in town. They'll counter with Kevin Gausman, and the Toronto Blue Jays playing some good ball right now. Top spot in the AL East, 73-52 on the season. When you get a guy like Skeens, I mean, that's appointment television. Jays have to be ready for him, because despite the record and he plays on a bad team, this guy is an absolute stud.
He really is. He is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball right now. He's somebody that has the absolute, some of the best stuff that we have ever seen at this level, where he can blow it by you with his triple-digit fastball. He's got a devastating wipeout slider. He's got what's called a splinker, too, which is a mix between a splitter and a sinker, and it comes at you like 98, 99 miles per hour. It's basically like Kevin Gausman's splitter, but if you cranked it up to 100, that would be pretty much what it looks like coming out of the chute from Paul Skeens. And sure, he does not have the best team around him playing on the Pirates. That is certainly evident. But in terms of run prevention, there aren't many better players you can have on your pitching staff than Paul Skeens.
So when you take on a pitcher like that, and I mean, obviously the Jays' bats have been electric at times this season, what is the game plan here? Are you just trying to kind of wear him down, take as many pitches as you can? What's the game plan?
Yeah. So it's certainly going to be interesting to see how the Blue Jays handle him. I think if I was in the hitting room with David Popkins and the rest of the Blue Jays coaching staff, my approach against Skeens would be tailoring more towards the Blue Jays approach, where they're trying to grind him out, elevate his pitch count, try your best to foul off as many tough pitches as you can. And that's going to be easier said than done against a guy like this. But he is somebody that, over his very brief major league career, he is somebody that, if you have that type of approach, you can get him out of games early. He only went 4 innings in his last outing against the Milwaukee Brewers, who they have a very similar type of approach in that regard to the Blue Jays, where they're one of the better teams in baseball at being able to execute that type of game plan, where you're putting up these really tough at-bats and making pitchers work a lot out there. And so I think that's probably the best hope they can have against a guy like Paul Skeens, because if you try and go toe-to-toe with him and match your best stuff with his best stuff, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to be going down or going back to the dugout on 3 strikes.
Now, I want to ask you on the flip side, I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates have not been very good this season. Is it, you know, that situation, like, we just got to get a couple? Like, we trust in Gausman to get the job done. I know, you know, home runs against his team has been a bit of an issue as of late here, but if we can just get a couple, maybe that's enough to get us past this and, you know, on to the next one, because we know that Skeens, you know, if you wear him down, he's going to get his. He's going to provide some troubles, but maybe we don't need that much run support to beat this team.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I mean, the Blue Jays had this similar type of situation against Jacob deGrom on Friday, where he absolutely dueled against them, but only for five innings. Mm-hmm. And once the bullpen came in, that's when the Blue Jays were able to scratch and claw their way back into the game and ultimately pull out another insane comeback win, which they have amazingly been able to do so many different times this season. So yeah, if they're able to scratch maybe a run or two off Paul Skenes, maybe get him early in the game before he really starts to settle in, then hopefully by the fifth or sixth inning, the game is still close. Blue Jays can hopefully, on their end of things, help neutralize the Pirates' offense. And once the Pirates hand things over to the bullpen, hopefully that will provide an opportunity for the Blue Jays to really break this game open.
Thomas Hall, Blue Jays Nation, joining us here on the Jason Gregor Show. Connor Halley sitting in. Any questions? 1-833-401-1440. Now, Thomas, I just want to ask you, going into the playoffs, the Jays, you know, haven't locked down yet, but it looks like they're trending in that direction. What would your rotation look like when it comes to starters? Let's just say games 1-3. What order are you going in?
So, and this is going to come as with a big caveat, but if Shane Bieber looks like the type of ace pitcher that he was prior to undergoing Tommy John surgery, you can make a very compelling case that he should be your game one starter. With the experience that he has, the talent that he possesses, there aren't many better options out there to having a game one starter than Shane Bieber. But if for some reason that things don't play out that way, I would be very comfortable handing Kevin Gausman the ball in game one. Heck, with the way Max Scherzer has been pitching too, he would be another great option. And I think in terms of, you know, if we're looking at your top three starters here, Bieber, Gausman, and Scherzer are probably it. But that does make for a very interesting situation in terms of who gets a potential fourth rotation spot between Berríos, Bassett, and Eric Lauer.
Now, Bieber, I believe his last start, 7 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 6 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts, that's 90 pitches. What have you heard about Bieber and his time with Buffalo?
He has looked fantastic. It's, you know, it comes against minor league hitters, so you do have to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But one thing that has stood out to me is the type of stuff that Bieber has shown, where his fastball in particular has looked great so far coming off Tommy John surgery, where pre-injury he was hovering around 91, 92 miles per hour with the fastball, but now he's being able to dial it up to 93, 94 and maintaining that velocity deep into his outings as well, which is always the key. And then the slider too, like it has the same type of bite that it did before he missed a chunk of time for surgery. And he's now throwing a different changeup too, where it's almost more of a spike changeup. And he's been able to get a lot more swing and miss with that pitch during his rehab outings with the Blue Jays as well. So from all indications, I mean, we'll see how he fares on Friday against the Marlins, but he has checked every single box that the Blue Jays have been looking for as he makes his way back from Tommy John surgery.
Now, Thomas, when you look at this Jays team right now, like plenty of good stories, and I will be the first to admit I'm kind of a pessimistic Jays guy. Like I've been through it for a long time. I always kind of question them until they get there. But this team has had a lot of really good stories, individual and as a team. I want to ask you, which player surprised you the most this season?
Yeah, it's a great question because there are so many to choose from, and that's been this team's identity for much of this season. But I think if I had to put it on one particular guy over a full season's worth of results, I'd probably say George Springer because not only is he somebody that looked like he was towards the end of his career. Like, the last couple of seasons for him were not good at the plate. He was a below league average hitter, statistically speaking. He was somebody that was still hitting for a bit of power, but last season he had a .220 batting average, a .371 slug. And then you fast forward to this season, in his age 35 season, no less, he has broken out completely. I don't know where he found the Fountain of Youth, but I would love to know his secret, because the way he has rebounded this year has been excellent. Now, playing DH a lot of the time, almost exclusively now, has really benefited him. It's allowed him to stay fresher over a long 162-game season, but the adjustments that he has made with the Blue Jays hitting coaches early in spring training and throughout this year has gotten him back to the all-star player that he was towards the early part of his Blue Jays career, and of course throughout his entire stint with the Houston Astros. And it has completely changed the dynamic of this Blue Jays lineup, where we saw early on where if you got through the top three hitters in this lineup, Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Anthony Santander, as an opposing staff, you were pretty much set. Like, you were good to go. But now that George Springer has come on the way he is, and I do want to give a little bit of love to Alejandro Kirk, too, because he's been a big element in this as well, where the lineup has lengthened so much for Toronto now that you're able to add Springer and Kirk to the mix of Bichette and Guerrero and even Barger now too. It has really fallen into place beautifully for the Blue Jays, and I don't think anything like that happens as well as it does without this resurgence from Springer.
Was Alejandro Kirk stealing second the play of the year?
It might have been. That was, like, honestly, I was at that game. I was covering it for Blue Jays Nation, and I gotta say, the applause that he got from the crowd was louder during his stolen base than it was when he homered or when he delivered the go ahead run hit late in the game. So that was something to remember. I remember. You know, as the game was ending, I was packing up, ready to go downstairs and talk with Schneider and everybody after the game. So I didn't even see that Vladdy ran over and ripped second base out of the ground to give Kirk. And, that was just, it's such a great moment for this guy. And it truly exemplifies the type of year that he's had, where everything is going right for him, and the fact that he gets a green light and is able to steal second base, like, that's just it's something that can put a smile on your face.
Absolutely. The crowd response is fantastic. Then Vlad getting the bag after. I just thought, okay, vibes are high with this team right now. They're having fun. They're enjoying it, and hopefully they can keep it going for a little bit longer here, because it is great. Everyone's into Jays baseball right now, and hopefully it will continue. Thomas, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate it, and we'll have to get you on again down the stretch.